Because New Year's, for whatever reason, in people's minds think that that's a time for a new beginning. When in reality, a new beginning starts the moment you decide. You understand the difference? I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, "Listen, you need to be doing this and this." And they said, "Well, the first of the year." And I go, "No, now, like start now. Don't wait till the first of the year. We don't wait till the first of the year to be godly. We don't wait till the first of the year to do right. We begin now." And so, this whole next year, starting today, my goal is to teach on spiritual maturity. So what I want to do this next year is I want to raise everyone up to the next level of spiritual maturity. Because if you can get to the next level of spiritual maturity, you will get somebody else to the next level. Because somebody's following you. Somebody's listening to you. Last week I talked about, Christmas Eve service. I know it wasn't that great of a Christmas Eve service because I talked about impacting people's lives and investing in people's lives, and that should be the Christmas gift. And so it probably got more teachy or more preachy than, is it me or is there a ringing going on? Praise Jesus, because I thought it was in my head. And I'm going, this isn't good because I'll pass out if this gets any louder. It just went away. Can anybody else hear the ringing? Praise God. Okay, wait a minute. Just in case. All right, so what I don't want to hit the floor. Because then you guys will gasp, leave me lay there. Kevin will get up and finish the message, and then you'll go home going, why don't he get up? So my goal this year is to raise you up to the next level. And that's where today is. Today is the beginning of next year. And we're right on the door of 2015, and I hope it's the best year that everybody has. But if you're not investing and raising yourself up spiritually, it's not going to be the best year you ever had. And I don't care if you've made more money than you ever made before in your life. I don't care if the better things come along. If you didn't grow spiritually, it wasn't your best year you've ever had. Because that's where it really matters, amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. I need you today. I need you to encourage me, so that way I need you to stay along with the sermon, amen? Did everybody get a handout? Nope. All right, you guys got to do the handouts. Brother Dave, you take care of this side. Larry, you got that side? All right. You're going to need a handout sheet. This is for you to take home. This is for you to keep. I promise you guys, if you take this handout sheet and you fill it out and you make notes and you write down the scriptures, which I've given you most of the scriptures on here, if you take this and you follow it, I promise you, you'll have a great year in 2015. Okay, the title of this, and I didn't put it on your sermon worksheet, but it's Jesus the Leader. And you remember, December is all about Jesus. It's about having a stable influence. And so we talked about Jesus the High Priest. And then last week we talked about Jesus the Savior, and today is Jesus the Leader. And the thing that Jesus does, that he sets the example in how we should be a leader. And if we're going to be successful in 2015, we have to follow what Jesus gave us as the leader. And so I titled this one, Jesus the Leader, the Seven Asians for Success. And how many knows what an Asian is? Well, praise God, because some of you would have scared me if you raised your hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll do the Bibles, brother. Thank you for being on that, and then we're going to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, and Lord, my prayer today, Lord, is that we take you so serious from this moment on. Lord, that we focus on you, that we follow you. Lord, that we dedicate ourselves, our lives, our spiritual life, our financial life, our everyday walking life. Lord, we dedicate every part of who we are and every part of our life, Lord, that we make it a point this year to grow spiritually, and Lord, that we just dedicate everything that we do and who we are to you. And so, Lord, starting today, as we follow the examples that have been put before us by Jesus, Lord, Father, I pray that we take it more serious than we ever have. Lord, as times are growing dim at certain points, Lord, politically we see things that can stress us out. Lord, financially, some people are struggling that haven't struggled before, and just things coming in our life, Lord, and as I'm witnessing emotional breakdowns, mental breakdowns, Lord, like never before, Lord, I just pray that this year, starting now, that we pay attention to your word, that we follow you closely, and Lord, that we just surrender all to you. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit has free reign here. Lord, that you would give me strength to preach this message. Lord, you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, that when we walk out of here, that we have heard from you and we're obedient to what we hear. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. What I want you to do, and again, I've put all the passages down on your handout, so you shouldn't, there's not a whole lot more that you'll need to write on that. Just make sure that you fill in the blanks, because I really, really want you to grow spiritually and to grow strong through 2015. One of the things that I've noticed about Christians is that they can't answer the simple questions asked of them of who Jesus is. You know, one of the questions that I asked 2 weeks ago, I said, could Jesus have sinned if he wanted to? And a multitude raised their hands that he could have. Well, that told me, okay, there's a breakdown somewhere. And then there were some other questions that I asked, and the answers I got told me that there's some breakdown somewhere. And so what we really need to do, guys, I'm going to focus. I'm just telling you, all of 2015, my whole focus is spiritual maturity. If you don't grow in Christ, you're not going to grow where you need to be. If you don't grow spiritually, you're going to miss the strength that you absolutely need to get through every day. Households are breaking down right and left. Leadership is breaking down in the household, in the workplace. Right? I mean, it's just, we're seeing a breakdown across the board in Christians and in non-Christians. We're just seeing a breakdown. I was reading an article, I only got to read it partially, where Muslims are converting over to Christianity because of they want some love and understanding. They're tired of watching their loved ones blow each other up, all in the name of what? You know, I mean, we're seeing breakdowns, and we're seeing people that are realizing, wow, man, there's got to be more to life than what's happening now. And so my goal this year, guys, is to raise you up as leaders, to raise you up as spiritually mature Christians. That's my goal. Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't think this message doesn't apply. You can still take the principles and apply it to your life. Amen? Listen, you can apply the principles of the Bible even though you don't believe in Jesus. Maybe that's just a good starting point to begin in your walk to finding success. And so, the seven Asians for success in 2015. Now, I will say this, because I don't want to be a thief and not give credit where credit is due. The 7 points, the outline itself, I took from one of Rick Warren's articles that he had written. All the adjustments in between are mine. It's my sermon, but I took his outline. And so, I want to give him credit for the outline. And I just tweaked it around to fit what I want to preach on in my agenda. But again, I want to give him credit for the 7 points. Everything else is mine, all right, just for the record. But anyway, here we go. The 7 Asians for success in 2015. Well, Jesus is a leader, and as he is a leader, we're going to look at the fact that, listen, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. Jesus was the only one that was perfect, and so his perfection made him successful in succeeding in doing what God had called him to do, the Father had called him to do. Well, what made him so successful? Well, there's 7 points that made Jesus successful, and I think that these same 7 points will make us successful as well. Number one is identification. So as you're going to find out, the Asians are identification is your first one. You guys get where I'm going? Okay, so now you understand the 7 Asians. And I know it's a weird title, but I just wanted to kind of capture your attention for a moment. It may have been all it was, but at least it was for a moment. And so number one, identification. I must know who I am. You know, so often we walk around and people don't know who they are. You don't have a clue who you are. You think you know who you are, or you wish you knew who you were, but then you know what? You're influenced by the crowd. You're influenced by the movement of society. All this influence comes into your life, but you know, if you really knew who you were, you would not be influenced by the world. Amen? And I think that it becomes a problem. So to be a success, you have to know who you are. Successful people know their strengths and their weaknesses. And that's what makes them successful, is because they understand their weakness and they'll bring somebody alongside to help strengthen that weakness. Amen? And if they're strong, they understand their strength. It's already a strength. And so they'll focus on making their weaknesses a little bit stronger to help balance them out. But successful people know their strengths and their weaknesses. Jesus had no doubt about his identity. I find it interesting in John 9:5. He says, I am. Now listen, he says, I am 18 times in the New Testament. I am, boom. I am, boom. This is what he does 18 times in the New Testament. In John 9:5, he says, I am the light of the world. He knew it. He understood it. And nobody swayed him from it. John 10:36, he says, I am the Son of God. No question about it. He knew who he was. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He knew it. He understood it. And nobody could sway from him. He knew who he was. Identification was not one of Jesus's problems. But if it's our problem, we need to understand it. If it's a weakness, we need to make it a strength. And in John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And I don't know if you noticed, but there were several times when he says, I'm the Son of God. Man, the Jews got upset. If you remember, that was one of the reasons why they had that they could crucify him, is for blasphemy. He said he's the Son of God. He didn't have a problem with that even unto death, did he? He knew who he was. I am the bread of life. He says, listen, you know what? Man, manna will feed you for a little time, but I am the bread of life. I will feed you forever. He had no problems with his identity, with who he was. And I put this on your outline. He didn't let other people define him. Amen? I don't want to show of hands. I don't even want to know. But how many of you, at some point in your life, or maybe even now, have let other people define you? In other words, because of their pressure, because of what you know they think or what you think you know what they want, and you allow that to make your decisions, and they're poor decisions. There are things that you would do, that you do to help them that you would normally never do, but you did it anyway. Maybe you lied for them. Maybe you stole for them. Maybe you covered up for them. Maybe you did some things that you shouldn't have done, but because of who they were, they allowed you to become who you were not. I'm telling you, when it comes to your identity, do not let other people define who you are. God should define you. Jesus Christ should define you. The Holy Spirit should define you and then lead you and guide you and direct you. But other people, especially sinful people, should never define who you are, should never make your identity. Man, you got to know who Jesus Christ is, and then you will know who you are. If you're going to be successful, you have got to know who you are. Amen? Got to know who you are, guys. Listen, if you don't know who you are, then you're going to become what you think people want you to be. Throw that out, because you need to become who God says you need to be. And if you're a child of God's, He makes it very clear who we ought to be. Amen? There's no hesitation. He says, you know what? Follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. There's no mistaking an identity. And if you don't see Jesus in the one you're following, then you better get out from behind them and follow Jesus. I'm telling you guys, identification. Know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you got to figure it out if you want to be successful in 2015. Amen? Got to know who you are. Identify who you are. You say this, and I'm going to help you here, because I don't want to leave you stranded going, well, who am I? If you know Jesus as your Savior, then this is who you are. Are you ready? You are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, it's very clear what we should be. And so if you are born again or saved, you're a child of God, identity solved. Now all you got to do is mature it and grow it and take care of it and cultivate that. Identity, child of God. Number two, clarification. Clarification. Know what you want to accomplish. So first is identification. You have to identify who you are and know who you are. And then clarification. What is my purpose? What do I want to accomplish? These are the questions that you have to ask yourself if you're going to be successful. Clarification. Jesus knew exactly what God had called him to do. He was straightforward. He established clear-cut goals. There was no mistaking in Jesus' clarification of what he had to accomplish. As a matter of fact, in John 8:14, Jesus says, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. Now that's clarification, amen? I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. Because if you remember, the Pharisees and the Jews, they were like, you came from where? You came from heaven? You're a son of God? You're a child? No, you're not. You're crazy. You're going to do what? You're going to die on the cross? You came to be our Savior? Are you insane? You can't do that. And Jesus says, look, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. It is very clear. Do you know where you came from? You know what? I came from the loins of my mother and my father, and I am a sinful creature. But then I was born again. And once I was born again, I became a child of God's. And all of a sudden, clarity started coming in. Amen? And as I spiritually grew and I grew in maturity, spiritually speaking, clarification started coming in. And as I was listening to God and following God, guess what? God called me to surrender to the ministry. I surrendered. I went to Bible college. He made it very clear where I was to go to college at. Then he made it very clear where I was to go and start a church. Which, by the way, when I surrendered to go to college, I was like, all right, God, you know, 35 years old, you want me to go to school? I was a 10th grade dropout, so I got my GED. I was 30 years old when I got my GED. And then And then at 35, I surrendered and I went to Bible college, and then I graduated with honors, praise God, at 39. And then I moved out here right about the time I was to turn 40. I moved here to start the church. And you know what? There was clarity in that. God made it so clear. Do you know why? Because I was seeking His face. So many people were struggling today. They don't have clarity. I wish I knew what God's will for my life was, but how many stop and spend time with God to figure out the will for their life? You see what I'm saying? It's like, I want to know, but God, I ain't got time to spend with you. Kind of send me an email sometime, will you? I'll read it when I get time to it. Thank you. What we got to stop, because God will make it clear of what we are to do. And Jesus was very clear of what he had to do. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. John 9:4. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me. He goes, I know where I came from, I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing. Here we go. And so it was clarification. He knew. And when people say, well, I don't know what God wants for my life, I'm going to tell you something. That tells me that, number one, you are not spiritually ready for what God has in store for you, because it's not clear. So then you sit tight and you keep focusing, growing, and studying God's word, and he'll make it clear. 9 times out of 10, when people are unclear what God wants them to do, and I mean, you know, there's some where they go, oh, I'm struggling. It's either not time, if you're not in the Word of God, it's just not time to move yet. And so you're not, that's kind of where some unclarity is. Or you're not spending any time with God, and you're just frustrated with your spiritual walk. And then you don't have clarity. And so what you got to do is you have to stop, and you have to spend time with God. Because I'm going to tell you, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for you in ministry. And listen, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a pastor. You can be a lay person and be in ministry. Amen? And you can do that. Listen, there's jobs around here that need to be done. There are things where we need to plug people in. And if everybody would come and say, hey, pastor, you know what? I want to help. For example, we'll use nursery as the example. You know what? If people would come in and go, hey, pastor, I want to be a part of that, then you would serve once every 2 months to 3 months. Once. An hour a Sunday. Okay, an hour and a half if I'm really long. Every Sunday, once every 2 to 3 months. An hour and a half. Once every 2 to 3 months. And you know what I get? People who say, I don't have time for that. What are you going to miss? A lunch? Seriously. I don't feel well, so I'm really passionate when I don't feel well. Oh, my goodness. Listen, you were put on earth to live for the purpose God created you for. And he created you to serve. Not yourself, but to serve others. Jeremiah 29:11, right? Yes, I have for you a future and a hope. He says, I have for you a future and a hope. In other words, I'm not leaving you stranded. I've established in your life something to do, and I want you to do it. But if you don't get your identification right, and then your clarification isn't right, you're never going to accomplish what God's called you to do. And it's just going to lead to frustration. It's those Asians. I left the negative Asians out because I want you to get the positive Asians, but don't misunderstand me. If you don't get the 7 positives, you're going to get the negative, and the negative is frustration. Amen? All right, let's move on. Number 3, motivation. Guys, this is a big one. Just because it's number 3 on the list doesn't mean it's actually number 3. For some, this could be your biggest struggle. Motivation. I put down next to motivation, know who you're trying to please. Amen? Who are you trying to please? You need to settle the issue of motivation. Am I trying to please my parents? Am I trying to please my teachers? Am I trying to please my boss? Am I trying to please my spouse? Am I trying to please my children? Am I trying to please my parents? Who am I trying to please? And I'm going to tell you this. If it's anybody other than God, you're going to be frustrated. Because the minute you please this person over here, you've ticked off this person over here. Amen? Somebody say amen. Listen, as a pastor, I have tried to please no one but Jesus Christ. Because originally, I as a boss, and this is where I kind of brought over owning when I owned my own business, and I tried to please the employees. And you make one happy, you make the other one mad. And you're like, really? And so then I get over into ministry, and let me just tell you this. There is always somebody sitting in a seat that you are sitting in or have sat in or next to you that you're sitting in that just has the idea that pastor doesn't know what he's doing. I'm just saying. Pastor, listen, I don't know how many times I've gotten emails or I've had people come up to me and go, Pastor, I think you're doing this and you're doing it wrong. Well, praise Jesus. And then I have another one come up to me about the same topic. Pastor, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. Well, praise Jesus. What else are you going to do, right? So you just keep moving forward. What is my motivation? My motivation is this. And if you do the same, guess what will happen? Life will be good. You still won't get rid of the naysayers, but it'll be good. Please God. That's it. Your motivation should be lived for the audience of one, and that's God. Amen? Absolutely. Listen, Jesus lived for the audience of one. Who was that? Somebody tell me, who did Jesus live for? What was his motivation? Who did he aim to please? The Father. One. That would be two. One. John 5:30. Listen. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I seek to please my Father, nobody else. How many people did he make happy? Probably 12 periodically. How many people did he make unhappy? The multitude, right? But what did Jesus care? That he only pleased the Father. Guys, I'm telling you, our motivation needs to be to please the Father. That's it. And if you can do that, if you focus on that, if that is your motivation, everything else is good. Amen? Because listen, I'm going to tell you, even in my own household, listen, I have three females in my house. Come on. I mean, I got a dog, a male dog, to help balance it out, but I don't even know that it's a dog. It acts like a cat sometimes. I think that's God's way of punishing me. And he looks like an Ewok. He doesn't even look like a cat. So I got a dog that acts like a cat and looks like an Ewok. I'm just a little befuddled here. Kind of like the platypus, amen? Just befuddles everybody. And so at any rate, even in my own household, I'm not going to please everybody. I want to watch a movie. Well, if it's not a movie, if it's a movie, it's got to be a chick flick. Really? And then here's the rule in our house. It's majority rules. Yeah, who was thinking when they made up that one? It wasn't the Father. And so it's like, majority rules, all right, chick flick. But here's the other thing. If you get to the TV before anybody else and you're already into what you're watching, everybody's got to watch it with you. So I get up at 4 in the morning and I start watching TV. No, I'm kidding. But you get what I'm saying. And then to pick the movie. Oh, my goodness. Christmas. Everybody wants to watch Christmas movies, right? Man, let me watch, what is that one? I can't even think of the name of it now, because obviously I don't ever get to watch it. But Die Hard, Christmas time. Remember Die Hard? Yeah, Christmas man movie. I haven't seen it since it came out in the 80s. But they want to watch Christmas chick flicks, Hallmark Channel. Pray for me. But you know what? They couldn't even settle or they couldn't even come together as females and decide that this is what we want to watch. So as a man, I had to decide on a chick flick Christmas movie to settle it. Really? I'm going, really? So you know, the truth is, guys, we're not going to please everybody. And so we just have to make a decision. And the decision is our motivation is going to please the Father. If we do that, everything's good. Who cares about chick flicks and chick? And why is it that all these movies out now are about relationships? I mean, how many of you are sick of it? Amen. How many of you are, never, I can't even go on the other plane. Okay, let's get back on this. If I say something that offends somebody, I'm just going to blame it on the sickness. Okay, here we go. I am so glad this thing is here. You have to learn to not care about the opinions of others. It'll drive you crazy. I am serious. It will drive you insane. You have to focus on God's opinion of what you're doing. And that's what I tell people all the time when they're trying to make decisions. And I tell them, okay, here's the question that you ask yourself. Is this decision honoring God? Would he be pleased with this? And if you, listen, you know the answer to that question, by the way, every time. There's no question because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you. And so you can answer that question. And that is the question that you focus on because that should be your motivation. Is this pleasing to the Lord? I took it off of the worksheet for space reasons. Don't pay attention to those who cheer you or jeer you. Either one will sidetrack you. Because you get those who are cheering you on, yeah, and then you're like, okay, and you jump over there, and then next thing you know, you're like, oh, wait a minute, where am I going? And those who are jeering you, you're like, let me stay away from that, but maybe they're jeering you because you're making the wrong decision, and they're godly. You see what I'm saying? Don't get caught up into that. Ignore the people, focus on God. And if you can do that and make that your motivation, life will be good. Number four, calibration. You never succeed by yourself. I'm sorry, you're right, collaboration. Hey, you know what? I'm sick and I don't care. What did I call it? Collaboration. That's good. All right, here we go. You never succeed by yourself. You always do it in context of a team. And here's what I mean by that. Because Jesus modeled his ministry after this. He brought in 12. He created a team. Amen? And so, guess what? Whether you're at work, you need to make it team effort. Whether it's your family, you definitely need to make it a team effort with your family. And what you'll never succeed on your own. Everybody needs somebody. Amen. God made people to need people. And so you need to back up. Mark 3:14, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. We cannot do it alone. Jesus empowered other people to serve the cause with him. And we need to empower other people in our lives. And sometimes we need to create a team just of accountability. Amen? I was talking to somebody the other day who was upset because they gotten access to their phone and had looked through their phone. And I said, listen, that's not a bad thing. My girls, now that they're old enough, they have the password to my phone. They have the password to my computers. They have the password to whatever, you know, to this, to my laptop, to my phone, to our home computer. Why? It's called accountability. First off, I trust my girls. I absolutely trust them. They've not given me any reason not to trust them. And so I don't have a problem. Now, there's certain things they know that they don't need to go into, like information that's on my phone, and they understand what that is. I don't have a problem with it. And you know what? I have full access to their phones. No problem with it. Do you know why? Because it's accountability and we need each other. Not because we intend to do wrong. It just helps us to do right. Amen? If God gives you a vision, he'll bring other people with the same idea with you and it'll happen. For example, we have How many people have gotten involved in the adoption of Nadia? Yeah, you don't even know how many, have you? Do you? Like, it's countless. Unbelievable. It's just kind of like every time you turn around, you go, man, God's just confirming this. I'm telling you, if you're right, God's going to bring people into your life because people need people. We need each other. Number five, concentration. Concentration. Focus on what's important. Life is filled with things that will distract you. Amen? Listen, we live in such a fast-paced world right now, and you know what is amazing is we don't even know what's going on half the time unless we pull out some electronic to get us back on track. Amen? Right? Man, I used to know numbers. You asked me a question, I could give you numbers. Hey, what's so-and-so's phone number? Da-da-da-da-da. Now I don't even remember so-and-so unless I look up in the phone. I mean, it's crazy, amen? And we stay so busy. It's like boom, boom, boom. Life is fast-paced. We don't have time to slow down. Gotta go. And we lose focus. And then when we lose focus, we do crazy things. I mean, you look at King David. He lost focus, didn't he? And when he lost focus, what did he do? Committed adultery. Committed murder. Man, wow. Jeopardized his whole family over the actions that he did when he lost focus. Concentration. I got to concentrate. I got to focus. When David lost focus, it almost cost him everything. How important is it? Guys, Satan has a goal, and his goal is to distract you. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if he can't get you to do wrong, he'll distract you with doing a lot of good. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't care what it takes, good or bad, if he can get you so distracted off of what really matters. And by the way, we can justify it. Well, look at all the good I'm doing. Yeah, but you lost focus of what God wants you to do. But look at the good I'm doing. Satan has you right where he wants you. Clarification, we have to stay focused. Jesus was the master of concentration. He literally focused like a laser, and he refused to be distracted. Luke 9:51, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up. Now listen to what I'm talking about. When the time came for him to go and die for you and me. When the time came for him to give his life for you and me, the Bible says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly, I looked it up in several different translations just to get a different feel for what it was putting out there. And it was, some of them said that he was determined to get to Jerusalem. Another one said that he was so determined to get to Jerusalem that he had an iron will. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He refused to be distracted from his purpose. And guys, I'm telling you, we have to back up. And I have so many people say, I'm too busy, Pastor. I can't do you. I'd love to help you, Pastor, but I'm too busy. I'd love to do that, Pastor. Pastor, you know I'd love to do that, but I just don't have time. I got this and I got that. Let me say this. If you are too busy to serve God, you're too stinking busy. I should have got a whole lot of amens on that one. I'm serious. If you're too busy to serve God, and I'm not talking in every week fashion or every... if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. It is what it is, guys. Jesus wouldn't let anything distract him from what was important. I put here, and I was going to put it on there, but for room's sake, I couldn't put it on your handout. Settle on what's most important, and God will use your life like you could never imagine. Now think about that. Settle on what's most important, and God will use your life like you could never imagine. People say, I want to be used of God. But do you really? Do you really? You're so busy after your own agenda, how do you expect God to use you because you're never available when he calls you? I want to be used of God. Where are you? You see, guys, you got to get focused. You got to get back to what's important. Number six, meditation. Meditation. Listen to God. You have to make this a habit in your life, guys. You have to make this a habit. Mark 1:35. Jesus, again, being the leader that he is, sets the example in Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In the morning, and I love this, and I'm just going to pick on a few people, not by name, and so nobody's really going to know who you are. And truthfully, I don't even know who you are. I'm delusional right now. But I hear people say, Pastor, I pray every day. You do? Yep. On my way to work, I pray. Well, there's no distraction there, is there? Not watching all those cars come up by you, and no distraction there. Your cell phone's on. I pray when I'm driving. I think it's fantastic to pray when you're driving, but I really think that meditation literally means just you and God. All distractions are gone. Get in your prayer closet, whatever that is, wherever that is. Just you and God. Shut the world down. How many of you honestly take time to pray? And I don't want to know. Don't raise your hand because then somebody's going to call you prideful. How many, even my humor is going nowhere today. But this is a question for you to answer yourself. How many take time where you literally have shut the world off and it's just you and God and nobody else for more than 15 minutes a day? I don't want to know. I'm just asking. How many of you would be terribly upset if somebody that you loved dearly and wanted to spend time with dearly wouldn't even give you 15 minutes a day? I'm just asking. Meditation. Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. In other words, he got up before anybody else for one purpose, to make God the Father the priority, to seek his face, to seek wisdom, to get clarification for his identity. Listen, all of that, getting a hold of and getting with the Father gives you everything else we've just talked about. If you fail to do that, guys, you're going to fail in everything else when it really matters. We need quiet times to reflect, to renew. We need time to get alone, to be quiet, to listen to God. We need to stop and meditate. And you know, when I find myself the craziest up here, and I know some of you think this all the time, but it's really not. But the times that I find myself the most unstable in leading, being a pastor, being a father, being a husband, doing all the things that I know that I need to do, the most difficult times are when I'm not spending time with God. That life becomes difficult. And all of a sudden, things that should be easy to answer becomes questionable. Anybody ever been there? Where you know the right answer, but all of a sudden you're going, well, you know, I might kind of make a little adjustment here. That adjustment is actually called a compromise. Whereas if you were walking right with God, you wouldn't even think that way. Meditation. We need to stop and listen to God. Number 7, and I'm finishing with this one. Relaxation. Relaxation. Take time to recharge. Just stop the craziness. As I said the other day, get off the crazy train. Just stop and get off the crazy train. How many have ever ridden on the crazy train? Whew, my goodness. You know, sometimes you're like, yeah, go, giddy up, yeah. And then you're halfway in and you're going, somebody stop, just get me off. How many have ever been on the ride at the fair where you're going around and around and around and around and around and around and the floor drops out? Hey, how many have been on that? Yeah, as soon as it drops, you realize you are totally helpless. Like you can't do anything. You are stuck against the wall. Unless you're really, really large, you'll pretty much stay on the wall. I've seen some where they kind of slid down to the floor with it. That was terrible. I'm just sharing. Gravity takes hold sometimes. But we need to just relax. Oh, I'm really sick today, guys. Oh, Jesus, help me. We really need to get off the crazy train. Shh, you guys got to stop over here. Mark 6:31, Jesus said this. His disciples were really busy, serving, doing, running. And Jesus in Mark 6:31 said, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Guys, we got to get off of the crazy train and just relax and rest. And you know, sometimes, I'm going to tell you, reading a good book will help you do that. Why? Because it takes you to a kind of another world, right? I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she's on the crazy train, and I go, do you read? And she goes, I don't have time to read. Which, how many use that excuse? I love it when I go up to somebody and I go, do you read? And they go, no. Like they're proud of it. Don't be proud of that. You've put yourself in a box in the dark, and you've lost your imagination. You've lost, I mean, there's so much that comes in with reading. Amen? Somebody say amen. Everybody say amen. Listen, reading is good. And so I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get some good books. And I recommended some good books that weren't learning books and, you know, self-help books and all these other things that are going on. I just get a good ground storybook and read it. And so there's one called, you guys write this down. Write this down. You're really, really going to like this book. You will hate it for the first 3 chapters. You want to cut your wrists. But once you hit chapter 4, it takes off and you can't put it down. It's called Philip's Crusade. Philip's Crusade, and it's by Charlie Bell. Charlie Bell is the author of it. He's supposed to come out with a second one, but he's been slacking off in ministry and not got it finished yet, and so we'll have to tell him about it. By the way, Charlie Bell will be here in March during our missions conference, and he was my professor in college, and he's been my dear friend ever since. Philip's Crusade. He called me up one time, in class, he came up to me and he said, hey, John, I want you to read my book for me before it goes out. And I went, man, I'd love to read your book. And so he gave me a copy of it, and I actually got the copy that was unedited. You know, it hasn't. So Philip's name was Peter, and I mean, it was kind of crazy. But I found it. I told him, I said, dude, one thing I know, you don't know how to type well, do you? And so anyway, I read it, and as I read it, I hit chapter 2, and I called him up, and I go, Charlie, tell me this gets better than what it is, right? This is his book. All right, I know some of you think that's offensive, but he asked me to read it for a reason because he knew I'd be honest with him, amen? And I said, tell me this gets better because I want to die right now. And he said, he goes, where are you at? I go, chapter 2. He goes, oh, no, no, no. He said, listen, Go to, by the end of chapter 3, you'll be in it. Chapter 4 at the very latest. And he picks. He says it picks up. I went, all right, I'll go to 4. But if it's like 1 and 2, I'm out. And he goes, no, just hang in there. I said, all right. By the time I got to chapter 4, I couldn't put the book down. And so I sat there until 3 in the morning, went to bed, got up at 6, went to school, got class, came back home, sat back in a chair, and picked the book back up. It was that good. And here's what it did. I was about to crash and burn, and that book just took me to another world. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of relaxed me, and it helped me out. And guys, I'm telling you, if you don't read, you're cheating yourself. You need to read. You need to relax. You need to chill out. And there's nothing like a good book to do that. But rest is so important. As a matter of fact, in one of the Ten Commandments, God said, hey, on the seventh day, take a nap. Chill out. Take the day off. Amen? And so we need to do that. We need to make our seventh day Sunday. We need to chill out on Sundays. We don't need to work. We just need to relax and take time off. Take time to rejuvenate, because if you get too tired, you won't be able to do any of the 6 things that I just told you to do. You know why? Because you'll lose focus, you'll lose that clarification, and you'll be gone. You'll be out there in la-la land. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. And that's true of every single area of our life. Guys, if we don't follow the counsel of God, we're going to fall. We're not going to have success. And so for success, we need to learn from Jesus, who is a great leader. I just want to help you to grow. I want to help you to be spiritually mature. And I want to help you to be grounded. I want to help you make good decisions. And I want to help you get to the point that you can help somebody else. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? Serving God, loving others? Or loving God, serving others? Doesn't matter how you put it. Those are two things that matter. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you got to serve. But you're not going to do it if you don't grab hold of these 7 nations. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love and your guidance. And Lord, as we set our agenda to get closer to you in 2015, as we set our agenda to love you like never before, Lord, as we set our agenda to stay focused on you, Lord, as we set our agenda to do your will, to serve you, Lord, I just pray that you would use that, Lord, to grow us, to strengthen us, to stir others. And Lord, that in 2015, people will see Christianity for what it really is. Lord, that nobody would play Christian, nobody would be religious. But Lord, that we would be mature spiritually. Lord, that we would be the mature believers that you have called us to be, to go out, to do the work that you've called us to do, to influence the world. And Lord, we can't give somebody what we don't have. Lord, I pray that you'd raise Connecting Point Church up, that when we walk out of here, Lord, we would be leaders for you. Lord, that we would change everywhere we go, just because when people look at us, they will see Jesus. And it's in his precious name that I pray. Amen. If I